This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for spending time here every day hearing about things happening around Douglas County and beyond. Wanted to check in with State Representative Court Boyce, who represents parts of Douglas County along with the South Coast. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thanks for having me on. Hey, I want to just give you a little shout out for the job you do. And, you know, when I win the lottery, I'm going to have a tower in Gold Beach so that we could get KQEN down to the California border all the way up to the east side of Coos Bay. People would love your program, but thanks again.
Well, and you know, we do stream online as well, so you can listen over there from 541radio.com.
And we will promote that. You know, it's just the programs you have, the whole Douglas County persona is just, you know, I told Commissioner Freeman not too long ago, when it comes to Oregon politics, I really believe Douglas County is a hub of hope for Oregon.
Well, let's jump into some of the topics you announced last week. You're running for re-election, probably not a surprise to most people, but always you kind of look ahead when you're making another two-year commitment or hoped two-year commitment. What led to the decision to run again?
Well, Oregon's in a lot of trouble, and I just seem to have the energy, the enthusiasm, got a great crew. You know, I see a lot of folks leaving Oregon, and, you know, my kids probably won't come back here for a long time, and so I think a lot of families are dealing with that. Affordability is going to be a bigger and bigger problem. I don't know how the poor folks do it when they go to the grocery store, Kyle. It's just, you know, gas nationwide average now regular is down below $3 a gallon in Gold Beach, in Roseburg, et cetera. It is still over $4, and it's just brutal to our farmers, our ranchers, our builders. And so I'm in the middle of the battle and loving it. And as long as the people want me, I'll probably be around another 4 or 6 years. And Oregon's worth defending.
What are some of the particular things you would like to try to accomplish if you're given another term?
Well, I had, you know, just the little news clip you had there, the fire department responding to a domestic fire. 74%, I think it's 73 or 74% of our firefighters are going to volunteer, meaning, of course, they don't get paid and sometimes even pay for their own training. And so I have a... we're only allowed two bills in the short session, Kyle, and one of mine is recognizing the 75-year history of the Oregon Rural Fire Departments. I have over 50 fire departments volunteer in Coos Kerr and Douglas County that I represent, and they're always short of funding, and they need tremendous support. I would give a shout-out to Oregon State Fire Marshal, which has been very good to a lot of our little fire districts, but it needs to come from the state level, and there's some, as you know, they're sometimes usually the first ones to a fire, and they just do an incredible job. We need help with recruiting and equipment and all the above. Oregon is very, very susceptible to, you know, high fire risk.
What about for the South Coast? What are some of the differences in the needs and the issues on the South Coast versus inland Douglas County?
A very good question. I'll just preempt just a little bit. My other bill is for veterans on an identification card, which if a veteran is suffering from PTSD, this is just one example, or TBI, traumatic brain injury, his card would have all of his vital statistics. So if an officer, if he's having a difficult time, an officer comes, instead of arresting him, all that information would be right there. So that's my second of two bills. Now, one of my big projects was getting the city of Winston almost $800,000 for their home addition project. Goes out Highway 42, their infrastructure for water treatment, et cetera. But that was damped a little bit by Roseburg Lumber after originally planning to put $70 million into the Dillard mill there, they just laid off, well, it's been a couple of weeks now, 107 people. And boy, that's the kind of stuff that keeps you up at night. That impacts so many families. And so that brings me back to fires. That's my number one issue. And I just keep beating that drum that we can do much better and stop wasting our timber. Right now on the Moon Complex Fire, I'm doing everything I can to recover thousands of valuable public-owned trees that burned up in that fire and are outside the wilderness area.
And, of course, from the governor's transportation bill after the special session, that remains unsigned. Talk about probably what her strategy is there and some of the things going on from folks on the other side of that.
Well, I was afraid you're going to bring that up. No, I'm really, of course, glad you did. The governor appears to have a strategy that delay as long as possible. We went to a very expensive, very time-consuming special session. As you know, Kyle, went on over 30 days, and it was emergency. Of course, we voted against it because it increased taxes, the gas tax, the title fees, the registration fees, payroll taxes for transit, public transit that hardly anybody uses. And so she's delaying because there's a tremendous movement. And I hope people might, your listeners might, that are interested, might take note. The notaxor.org, notaxor.com. It's a citizens referendum we're putting out there to repeal 3991, and we think it has a tremendous chance to pass the citizens' stress test, we'll say, and overturn that. And the governor's delaying because we have a limited amount of time to collect signatures. So if anybody needs information on that, Coach Court, coachcourt@gmail.com. We can get you some info. We need about 80,000 signatures, Kyle, between now and, well, be 30 days after the governor signs it. And that could be any day. It could be November 4th is her deadline.
Now, am I correct that you can't begin that effort, though, until she actually signs it?
Yeah, that's a state law. It's not a good law, in my view, and my colleagues that are on the side of protecting the families and the people paying the bills, the taxes, the excessive taxes in Oregon. I mean, we've lost 11,000 employees since the beginning of 2024. So yeah, we do have that. We cannot gather one signature until she signs it.
And as well, and probably separately, but there's obviously probably a lot of folks involved in both. Also, some attempts moving to recall the governor. What do you know about that?
It seems to be gaining a little momentum. My personal opinion and political philosophy on that is basically it's probably not going to happen. We have two or three moderate to conservative candidates on the Republican side, including Drazen, Chris Studley. I still think Drazen's our best shot, Kyle, at actually taking the governorship for the first time in 44 years, whatever. And that's our best shot. I don't think the recall. We need to focus our time and our resources and our energy on electing a Republican governor. Recalls just aren't normally successful. It doesn't mean I don't support it. It's just the practical portion of where we are and what the chances, what the odds are.
With those going on, though, whether or not they work out, does it kind of show you the level of frustration around Oregon?
Yeah, who can blame them? I do my best to work well with Governor Kotek, and she does have, in my view, some good staff members that are responsive. And when it comes to rural Oregon, they take my calls and get right back to me, which I really appreciate. But when you're in the super minority, you walk 10 miles if they'll walk one, and that's just the nature of what I have to do. And you put pride, ego, and politics aside. And, the people are looking at her leadership and are going, you have got to be kidding. There's just issue after issue that are really detrimental, also, as you know, to rural Oregon. And so, yeah, stay tuned. I'm really going to focus my efforts outside of being a state rep on repealing 3991 and the excessive taxes that's related to it.
All right, back with more in a moment. State Representative Court Voice, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, a mid-autumn look at agriculture in Douglas County with Logan Bennett, Extension Agent for the OSU Extension Service. We'll talk about some upcoming classes, workshops, other things happening with Extension, and what's going on in the local agriculture community this time of year. State Representative Court Voice on with us today, covering a number of things for the Republican Party going into the next election cycle. Obviously, you want to increase the number of seats you have versus the Democrats. What's it going to take to make that happen?
Well, it's a continual challenge. As you well know, Portland is a dominating force in Oregon politics. That's what people look at the Jefferson State or Greater Idaho. And, you know, that's not the answer. Maybe that's what Olin will have to come to. But, you know, we had tremendous quality candidates in the 24 election, Kyle, and we ended up losing a seat, which we really thought we'd gain at least one, perhaps two or three. And then we had one Republican I sit next to on the House floor, Cyrus Javity, that went to the Democratic side. And so that was really a stunner. But when you look at the traditional issues, when you look at what it is to be American and just understand the incredible quality of life we have here, we want to protect that and we want to leave that for children and grandchildren. And it's very motivating and easy to be energized. So we have to reach out to the non-affiliated and the independent voters and just say, folks, please be engaged. It's a lot cheaper moving out of Oregon. We want just 2 years. You don't have to hold us accountable. Great if you do. We will hold ourselves accountable. And again, in my view, strong opinion, it starts with a conservative governor.
Is it hard, though, to find candidates to run when they know what the uphill battle would be if they were in office?
And that's really a good point. And yet we seem to find those people, Kyle. They care deep enough that they're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to put out that kind of work. They're willing to, you know, battle the odds. And so that motivates all of us. It's Oregon is a special place, and we grew up in a great generation, and we're given so much, and so it's our chance to give back.
Are there areas in the state that tend to be more moderate overall, sometimes go Republican, sometimes go Democratic, where maybe a more moderate Republican would have a better shot at getting in?
That's a continual debate within the conservative movement throughout the country and throughout our state. Why does Trump only get 44% in three different elections? And so in analyzing that, you know, I'm probably more conservative than the average Republican. I'm just not super far right. And that's why, as I mentioned a bit ago, working with the Democrats is just something, even if we're in the majority, the right thing to do is to reach across the aisle and say, okay, I don't agree with anything you said, but explain to me in case I'm missing something here. The Democrats don't do that for us. You know, I get along with most of them pretty well, but they like that power. All we want, again, repeating, is 2 years to change the course of this state and stop businesses from evaporating or exiting. And looking out for families, looking out for small business, looking out for our natural resource people, our forest workforce. It's just, I mean, it breaks my heart when I see families have been in the logging business for generations, sell their equipment and leave. And we grow the highest quality, fastest growing timber anywhere on the planet. There's just no excuse for allowing that.
For decades, we've heard about urban-rural divide issues, and do you see any potential shift? I mean, in a lot of political observers, if you kind of take it from a political science side, not so much the emotional arguments about particular issues, that Oregon is almost two states wrapped up into one.
Very well said. And it's getting bluer, and sometimes, in some ways, we see it getting redder. It's just, you can only defy common sense, logic, and facts for so long. We just challenge people, look for the truth. I mean, as the good Lord put in our hearts, souls, and minds, the quest to always want to understand the truth. And so we just want to live with peace. The people I run with, and I mentioned this at the Charlie Kirk ceremony on what was it, the 15th, I think, in Roseburg, the Douglas County Fairground. I think there were 700 people there. The people I run with, they don't want lawlessness. They just want clean, peaceful neighborhoods. And we put their kids in good schools. They want to pay their bills. They just want to live normal lives. We want to return Oregon back to a normal society.
What is a typical day outside of a session, this time of year when you're not meeting in the legislature? What's a typical day for you like?
You know, I got to go to Brookings today and meet with some folks down there. I'm constantly working with people that want to stay in business in Oregon, want to employ people, you know, want to give back to their communities, of course. And then I'll be going to the Frank Moore celebration this Saturday in Glide, the famous World War II vet, just an incredible man. And so, yeah, I'm always in Coos Bay, even though East Side is my district. Bandon, I'm working on the golf course there. I'm just really fortunate and blessed to be able to work in such a diverse Southern Oregon area. And it's just really humbling.
What are some of the things that, when you talk about businesses trying to stay in Oregon, I mean, you've seen a big exit of at least company headquarters in the state, and some concerns about other companies probably leaving as well.
Yeah, we're up over 5% unemployment. It hasn't been that high since 2020, the height of the pandemic. The tax system we have for Oregon, and this goes back to the democratically controlled legislature of the last 40 years, everything is about protecting the employee. And what they do is they put the employees in a really compromising position, because when these companies, because of the tax system, because of the overburden and overregulation, then they make cuts. They lay off people. So people end up without a job. I mean, who doesn't want to protect employees? But it's just like the farmers, what we put on our ag people in overtime requirements and housing and all the above, you know, they're going out of business. They're struggling hugely. And I serve on the Ag, Water, Land Use, Natural Resources Committee. And this is, I hate to use the word fight too much, but we are fighting to keep our farmers, longtime family farms, people, my generation are saying, I don't want my kids to go through this. And the perfect example is the Rick Real Dairy employed 30 people for 70 years. The owner, incredibly well-liked, said, no, I'm closing the doors. I don't want my kids to go through this stress that I've been through in the last, especially last 20 or 30 years.
What's ahead for you in the next few weeks in terms of things you're working on?
Well, I'm glad that the Moon Complex of Paradise fires are pretty much contained, Kyle. I boated firemen in and out of the Rogue River Wilderness by jet boat for 11 or 12 days. And, you know, we're still going to have our 104-mile trip down here. It's still going to be beautiful. It's just a different kind of beautiful because some of the areas have been blackened. So I'm kind of regrouping in my Gold Beach office so that I can catch up and appreciate, again, you having me on. So, yeah, I've got some different meetings around the state, and I'll be in the Salem office next week for a couple of days. And, you know, my district is 180 miles north to south, but it gives me a lot of time to think what I got to be planning to do and to be organized.
All right. State Representative Court Boyce will check in again soon. Thanks for being on today.
Kyle, thank you for everything.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.